Well, hello everyone. Trying a new setup today, as I suggested I might. Hopefully this will save a bit of time. But the big news in British politics recently has been a renewed push for Angela Rayner, of all people, to become the Prime Minister. Now, I reckon I was probably the first person in this country to talk seriously about Rayner for PM. I think I said it back on my Duran appearance sometime last year. A lot of people thought I was crazy at that time. But, you know, I tend to look at politics a little bit like Football Manager. And Angela Rayner has attributes. She has assets that I think could be marketable to the British public. One of the things I always go back to is when she had that little dance in Ibiza, and a lot of people were trying to, you know, on the right were trying to make hay with that. But normal people just thought, actually, Ange, she's just like you or me. Look at her having her butt. She's just having fun. Bless her, old chip shop Debs. So I do think that Rayner has got a personability and a kind of an appeal, basically, to the normie public that somebody like Keir Starmer completely lacks. Now, there is more to this story than meets the eye. Just before we get going, I'll remind people, buy courses at the academic agency, the Trivium, best course going today. Foundations of Writing, Foundations of Logic, Foundations of Rhetoric, buy it now. Foundations of Shakespeare also available. Many other great courses. But anyway, I talked in the title about four factions, and I've actually written out four factions within Labour. And for the rest of this video, I'm going to talk you through what actually is going on, okay? And what Rayner represents in the ongoing power struggle within the Labour Party. Now, when Starmer first burst onto the scene as a politician, he served under Jeremy Corbyn, okay, when Corbyn was the leader. And Corbyn comes from a tradition within Labour known as the militant tendency or the hard left. And what Starmer did is he used, truly like Littlefinger or Machiavelli, he used Corbyn to climb up the Labour ranks. And then as soon as he was in power, purged, not only he banned Corbyn from the Labour Party, and then purged the Labour ranks of all Corbynistas. And it was ruthless, absolutely ruthless, what Starmer did. On behalf, of course, the bidding of the Dark Lord himself, Tony Blair. I've often likened the relationship between Starmer and Blair to the relationship between Darth Vader, that's Starmer, and Emperor Palpatine, of course, who is Tony Blair, and the way in which Starmer scythed down the Corbynistas when he came to power was truly like Order 66 from the Star Wars movies. So anyway, the hard left are basically gone, right? They're done as a tendency within the Labour Party because they've been sidelined, and Corbyn is talking about starting a new party now, okay? That means the next leftmost group is what they call the soft left, okay? The soft left, and this is being talked about quite a lot in the press at the moment. What soft left means, basically, is Brownites. It's people like Ed Miliband, Lisa Nandy, these sorts of figures in the Labour Party that are to the left of Blair. Okay, so Blair is the centrist or the centre-right of the Labour Party, but there's a leftist tendency, a soft left tendency that historically has associated with people like Gordon Brown, John Smith, if you remember him, the late leader. He was from the soft left. Neil Kinnock was from the soft left, Roy Jenkins. I mean, there's a whole slew of people that are in that tradition of Labour. And Angela Rayner is the figurehead. She represents the soft left within Starmer's government. Okay, this makes her very popular within the Labour Party and within the trade unions, and also I would say in the media, because the media, I would say, swing soft left rather than Blairite for whatever reason. Okay, I would say the soft left is basically where a lot of the British journalist class, they kind of sit there somewhere. Okay, they're a little bit more up for distribute redistribution, re classic kind of left wing economic policies, wealth redistribution, higher taxes, things like that. Whereas the Blairites are more economically liberal. I'll just put it that way. And so Rayner recently, one of the reasons she's being pushed at the moment is because Starmer, is unpopular. They had the losses at the recent council elections. They don't like the hard tack to the right he's taken on immigration, as an example. Blair is signalling against the net zero agenda, which also, Ed Miliband is there. So there's really inter-party factionalism between it's the Blairites versus the Brownites all over again, if you remember the 2000s. Okay, now what makes this interesting, and there's a couple of other things, because it may not be quite as it appears. If you were just reading the press, it'd be like, well, Angela Rayner's on manoeuvres. She's denying that she's going to be the prime, that she wants to ever be the prime minister, and this is being, but really, this is her big push to put herself in the frame as Starmer's successor. Okay, and the polls indicate basically that if Starmer stood down, Rayner was basically a shoo-in with the Labour membership who would vote her in a jiffy. She is very popular among the Labour membership. And I suspect she's more popular with the British public than Starmer is too. Okay, so there are arguments for putting her in, but I think there's a different strategy at play, and I'll come to that in a second. Now, quite interesting, different from New Labour 1.0, this is New Labour 2.0, don't forget, is the emergence of this kind of faction in between the soft left and what I'm calling the right, the Blairites here. And that is a strategy called Blue Labour. There's also a group called Labour Together, and there's a group called Labour First as well, who are under a guy called Luke Akehurst, but Maurice Glassman, who's a Lord. Okay, they're pretty heavily Zionist, these guys, as well as some of the other things, but they are distinct. Now, they're kind of Blairites. They're aligned. They're definitely aligned with Blair. And a lot of people would describe Morgan McSweeney as a Blairite, or as a staunch Blairite even, okay? But there is a difference between the Blairite right and what is being called today Blue Labour. Now, what is the chief difference? The chief difference is that the Blairites were always quite socially liberal, okay? They were progressive. Especially in their classic 1997 form. Blair, you could argue, has shifted to the right on a whole slew of topics as he's got older, okay? But certainly today, this tendency here, Blue Labour and Morgan McSweeney, are a lot more socially conservative than Tony Blair was back in his heyday, okay? Another thing that sets Blue Labour apart from the Blairite right is that Blair and friends were accused, especially in the 2000s, of becoming almost like market fundamentalists. They were so committed to Thatcherite economics or market economics, managed markets, that they came to see the market as being central to everything. They tried to run everything according to market principles. This is the topic of Adam Curtis's documentary, The Trap, that was made during that period, for example. And he talks about how Blair and his friends here were very managerial and very committed to targets. Now, Blue Labour are less ideological than that when it comes to markets. They're more socially conservative. They're pragmatic. All of these guys are pragmatic, but they're like, well, look, we have lost touch with the working class of the country. We've lost touch with our base. We've lost touch with the white working class. We need to be patriotic. We need to strafe rights, all the classic Blair stuff. But also, we need to drop the kind of progressive nonsense as well. Okay? Now Blair has said, put the woke away and so on. But I think Morgan McSweeney wants to go even further. He recognises that there's nothing fundamentally about being part of the quote-unquote Labour movement that means that you have to be a social progressive. Okay? So McSweeney is tacking socially to the right and a little bit more economically to the left than where Blair was what you might call the double liberalism of Bill Clinton. Okay? So these are the four factions within the party. Okay? Now, you could argue that all three of them were united against the hard left. They were all equally hate the militant tendency and want to see the Corbynites and the Momentum lot out, okay? And they united to axe those. Now, well, the next group over are the so-called soft left. Now, they are a lot more powerful within the Labour Party than the hard left ever were, okay? And, you know, I call them... You've got to remember, Brownites were people who were loyal to Gordon Brown. Really, what you could say is that not every soft lefter or not every soft left person within the Labour Party is a Brownite, but every single Brownite is soft left, if that makes any sense, okay? So now, Blue Labour and the Blairite right, Blair's got his plans with ID, digital ID, AI, all those things that Blair wants to do, okay? Put the woke away, get immigration down to nail the populists and so on. They've got an issue where the soft left are like, they're saying like, hold on, we're late, like we're the left after all. Like, are you guys just going to become far right now? You know, what's going on here? And so they're getting a lot of pushback from the soft left in the party. And this push from Rayner is widely being interpreted by commentators in the media and within the Labour Party and so on as being a check on the Blairite and being a check on Starmer, who, let's not forget, McSweeney and Blair and so on, they initially had a massive soft left obstacle in the party in the form of Sue Gray. They got rid of her last October, November sort of time, and since then it's been full steam ahead with the Blairite agenda. Now they're getting a little bit of pushback because Starmer's gone a bit far on his immigration rhetoric. And, you know, they don't like the welfare cuts that are taking place and so on. And so Rayner had this leak to Rachel Reeves' office, basically with a bunch of the equivalent of Labour red meat. I want to increase taxes on the rich. Actually, I don't want to do these welfare cuts, blah, 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 blah. Now, what makes this interesting? I've held that up enough. I think we can just talk straight to the camera here. What makes this very interesting is that back in December, Blair appeared on stage with Angela Rayner. And since then, a book was written by a chap called Lord Ashcroft. I think in April. It's May now. But last month, it was revealed in this book by Lord Ashcroft that Blair personally intervened in 2024 to stop Angela Rayner from stepping down. Now, ostensibly, that was about Rayner believing that her targets for building houses was unrealistic and impossible to achieve. And for whatever reason, Blair personally got involved. It's like the hand of God intervening in Labour Party affairs. Blair gets on the blower or takes her out for dinner, or they took her aside at this event and stopped her from stepping. They talked her into staying. Okay. Now, that has been interpreted by some cynics on the soft left of the Labour Party as Blair and the Blairites setting Rayner up to fail, right? Giving her an impossible target so that when she falls on her face, they can say, look, we need to get rid of Rayner. Okay, so there are some people saying this is yet more ruthless Blairite factionalism, you know, giving her a poison chalice. Okay, I've got a different read. You know, remember I said at the start, looking at politics a little bit like Football Manager, okay? The problem, and McSweeney will be sitting there thinking that. Morgan, if you're watching, because I know you do. Hi, Morgan. Okay. But this would be my read for what is going on here, okay? They've kept Rayner on, the Blairites. They've kept her there to give the soft left a figure to rally around, okay? What the real political purpose is, though, is they're looking at reform. Okay, everything Labour is doing at the moment is to shore up or to retake what is known as the Red War. All of those former Labour working class areas up north, some parts of Wales, you know, traditional Labour stomping grounds, which are white, working class, more conservative, more patriotic. These are what McSweeney is looking at, okay? Now, if you have a think about what Farage is doing, as Starmer's been flanking right, using that classic Blairite strategy of flanking the right party from the right, Farage has surprisingly not reacted by, you know, doing what I think he should do, by going further, by pushing, by trying to outflank Starmer from the right and pushing Starmer into a situation where, I mean, this is what I would do if I was Farage. Try to, like, call Starmer's bluff and be like, look, I'm the right winger here, not you, Starmer. Everybody knows you're faking. And push Starmer into a position where he has to call Farage a name. He has to call Farage racist, something like this. And that would take the wind out of the Blairite strafe right strategy if he was able to push Starmer in that way. Okay, and it would be a game of chicken in a way. How far can reform push it before Starmer breaks and goes back to his old left-wing tendencies? Okay, that would be what I would do if I was reform. Reform have not done that. They've actually tacked to the centre and tacked left. And they've actually compromised on some of their kind of market fundamentalism and their Thatcherism to even come left on economic issues as well. What they're thinking is that, well, if they're appealing to the traditional Labour heartlands, those voters haven't, you know, they were voting Labour for a reason. Okay, there are actual natural incentives to appeal to those voters. Democracy is always a game of what can we give you, and to make you our client group. What little gifts? What little gibs? What little gimmies? What little presents can we give you to make you are clients? It's always a game of parceling out. I've got videos from back in the day talking about this being the fundamental game of democracy. Well, reform are starting to think seriously about playing that game, tacking to the left in a way that the Tories, you know, well, let's not talk about the Tories. They've tacked to the left, okay? So, if you're Morgan McSweeney thinking there in your tactician's chair, in your manager's chair, because he's basically like the Jose Mourinho of the outfit. Okay, you've got Starmer flanking right to take out, to destroy the Tories and to see off the threat from reform. Now you've left a vulnerability on the left. Well, what better way to see them off than to use Rayner as a flank to the left? So you've got Starmer on the right, Rayner on the left, in a dual flanking strategy, okay? Okay, there's a little bit of false opposition within the Labour Party there, because the people who don't like what Starmer's doing on the right can kind of delude themselves to think, well, we can rally around Rayner. But actually, if Rayner is secretly on board or is actually on board with the project that McSweeney and Blair are doing, which is suggested by the fact that Blair actually stopped her from stepping down, and they've kept her around, okay, they could have easily got rid of her. That suggests to me that they're actually using Rayna, her popularity, her left-wing appeal, to do this dual strategy to say, like, look, if you're a Labour voter thinking of going to reform, thinking that they will represent your interests better than us, let's not forget that we're Labour, okay? That's the Rayna part. And the Starmer part is, look, Starmer's a hard man. He's actually going to be tougher on immigration than Farage, who's a fake and a phony. Pretty good strategy, in my opinion. Is it working? Current indications suggest it's not working. The Labour Party's been going down in the polls as of late. But if they keep it up, if they're able to keep up this flank right, flank left strategy, let's say for a year, let's say for 2 years, because they've got time to spend, then we could start seeing a change in the polls. So I would actually stick with it. I would stick with, to go back to football manager analogies, if you're Starmer, or if you're the Labour Party, stick with the McSweeney Starmer idea with Rayner, as the flank left agent. Stick with that strategy. Okay, we're going through a rough spell type thing, but think of all those think of the early Alex Ferguson period. Today you'd have been fired. They kept him on and he went on to be the most successful manager ever. This is essentially what Labour need to do. They need to even though they're not seeing immediate responses in the polls, if they stick with it, if they carry on sticking with it, it's gonna put reform in a very difficult position. Because personally, I think reform have been flailing. I think Labour have been killing it, and reform have been flailing. So they actually deserve to win, and if they stick with it for long enough, I think they will. So anyway, that is the real story behind what's going on. Hopefully, I didn't ramble too much. This is a new format for me. I'm not used to talking to the camera. Instead of my slides, I've got my notes. Well, tell me if you like it. If you don't, I can always go back to the old style, and I'll see you.
If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.